Hello everybody. This is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday the 1st of May. Are we ready to hear the truth, the plain truth, the whole truth about ourselves? Paul writes to the Ephesians the pure and raw truth about human nature. To be honest, we don't always want to be so specific, especially on Sunday mornings. But to reassure you, there will be a positive conclusion to all of this. Rejoice, you are no longer dead. Let us first read the relevant passage from the Epistle to the Ephesians. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Firstly, we are indeed dead. Paul just spoke about the power, strength, and authority of Jesus. Jesus is bigger and more powerful than the awe-inspiring world of Roman Empire gods at the time. Paul explained to Christians that they form the body of Christ because Jesus filled them with his presence. All of this is not self-evident, especially for those without a Jewish background. This is why Paul particularly encourages Christians who are not of Jewish origin and are in the region of Ephesus. He reaffirms to them that they are fully part of the body of Christ. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Not only the Jews who follow Jesus, but also you, the Gentiles who follow Jesus, you have been made alive with Christ. It was urgent because without Jesus they were dead. Paul wants to say, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It already seems a little strange. They were dead. Dead because of their faults and their sins. When we talk about dead people, we think of coffins or cemeteries, but we don't think of people walking around in great shape. Paul uses death as a metaphor for the condition of the lost man. He speaks of spiritual death. This spiritual death has a dramatic history. It started with Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit. God warned them, "You will eat of all of the fruits of this garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. But in fact, they ate it anyway, because the serpent claimed that they would not die if they ate of this fruit. So they preferred to listen to the serpent rather than to God, and they ate. And indeed, they did not die immediately, but from that day on, they were doomed to die. This is why we must die today. The spiritual death of Adam and Eve, on the other hand, was immediate, because from the moment they ate of this fruit, thus disobeying God, the bond between God and man was broken. Man has detached himself from God. He broke away from the one who gave him life. The link with God has been severed. The communion with him destroyed. An impassable wall has now stood between God and man. Man has been submitted to the adversary of God. This is why Paul describes the state of spiritual death thus, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The adversary of God is at work in men. Men are in his sphere of influence. They cannot escape him. They are at his mercy. They thus live in the manner of this world, marked by the spirit that reigns between heaven and earth, the adversary of God. The New Testament also speaks of the prince of this world. Paul even designates him once as the God of this world. He writes to the Corinthians, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Man is therefore under the influence of the invisible powers that reign in this world. You were moving within the sphere of the devil's power without being aware of it, Paul told the Ephesians. You thought you were alive, but in reality you were dead, in darkness. This influence of the adversary of God provokes in us an instinctive life that is beyond our control. This concerns all men, therefore also the Jews. No one can escape this influence. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Such is the nature of a dead man, spiritually dead. It is a very dark picture that Paul paints here of man. Can it really be presented in such an extreme way? Wouldn't that be extremely exaggerated? Is man that bad? I think of our family members who do not follow Jesus but who are kind and helpful. They are ready to make sacrifices for us if necessary. I also think of our neighbours, nice and kind, who are happy to see us and who would help us if we needed help. I am thinking of all the people who are selflessly committed to people who are suffering. Does Paul seriously want to accuse them of being guided by their selfish thoughts? It's hard to digest, but the plain truth is a hard truth. Paul actually means that. He wants to show unequivocally how lost and hopeless man is who lives without God. That doesn't mean men can't do good. This does not mean that they always and in every situation act selfishly. This is certainly not what Paul meant, but the life of man unfolds under the influence of this prince of this world. No man can escape this influence. Every human being, no matter how good, likeable, kind and helpful in our eyes, is capable of all the most heinous crimes. We may create the illusion that we can live according to our personal ideals, but we only know our behaviour within a limited framework. Familiar life situations, subject to rules, laws, directives, and particular constraints. With what Paul is saying here, he pierces our shield of illusion. He sends us back to our deep nature, sometimes hidden from ourselves. Whoever thinks he is a good man deep down must recognize that this is a great delusion. Peter is a striking example. Peter was a godly, simple fisherman who followed God's commandments. For example, he had never eaten anything unclean. But when Jesus was in his boat and he saw the many fish in the net, he suddenly realized who was with him in that boat. He fell at Jesus' feet and cried out, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Luke 5, verse 8. In the presence of God, we realized how sinful and corrupt he was in his nature. Although he was a kind and sincere man, any man who enters the presence of God immediately realizes how sinful he is, no matter how many good works he has done in his life. Secondly, everyone deserves God's wrath. To make it clear to everyone what such a life leads to, Paul now says unambiguously, "Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath." Ephesians 2 verse 3. There are no exceptions. Everyone has the same problem. Whoever thinks he is better and different from all the others is seriously mistaken. Like everyone else, Paul says, we deserve nothing but the wrath of God. God cannot leave our behaviour unpunished. Any man who turns away from God, who disobeys God, is under the wrath of God. This is what we already read in the Gospel of John. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. John chapter 3, verse 36. There again, our whole being bristles. Can God be so harsh? Isn't it unfair that his wrath stays with us if we don't follow Jesus? But do we also find it unfair that someone should be punished for theft? Or something else. If we want a loving and just God, we must also accept that God judges. If he did not judge, he would not be just. If he were not just, he would not love, because then everything would be indifferent to him, and indifference is not love. Revelations directs our gaze towards the invisible world. It is recorded in this book how angels cried out to God during a terrible judgment. We read in Revelations chapter 16, verse 5. You are just in these judgments, O Holy One. You who are and who were. And this resounding voice, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and just are your judgments. Revelations chapter 16, verse 7. God is just and holy. In contrast, we humans are unjust and corrupt. We would like to deny it, but we cannot eliminate this fact. And like those angels, we will one day recognize the justice of God. Man is more lost and more desperate than we dare to think. He lives in a world of darkness. He imagines he lives in light. And if he ever worries about what will happen to him after death, he believes that in one way or another, he will go to heaven, or at least something good is waiting for him somewhere. Thirdly, God's love saves us. Fortunately, that's not all Paul has to tell us. And God's wrath must not stay in our lives. God is not happy that we live far from him in a gloomy world without landmarks. God's mercy is great because he could have simply turned away from us. But out of love for us men, for all men, he saw to it that we were delivered from our spiritual death and that we live a new life. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Nothing but grace. We couldn't do anything for our salvation. God has done everything for us to be saved. The Son of God died in our place. The pain that should have been inflicted on us, Jesus has now paid for us. Therefore, by believing in Christ, we can leave the sphere of influence of the adversary. Thanks to Jesus, God makes us live again. Fellowship with God is restored. It is like the parable Jesus told about the prodigal son, the father said when his son finally returned. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. He who returns to the Father through faith in Jesus is made alive. He is removed from the sphere of evil influence. For you were once in darkness, but now you are in light. But now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Final thought. When we realize how desperate and lost we were without Jesus, when we realise how dark our future was without Jesus, then the joy of our salvation will be immense. It's not like we're good people and faith in Jesus makes us even better people. We were completely lost and at the mercy of God. His great love for all men saved us. We died with Christ and were born to new life. Paul writes, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. The truth is that reconciliation with the Creator is possible. When we know this truth and act on it, we are saved, and a deep peace can settle within us. It is the peace of God that then determines our life. I would like to conclude with a blessing from Paul, which is addressed to all who follow Jesus. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.